Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk Chiefs with Mark Boerich, although we will allow anyone to talk Giannis if that's what they want to talk about. But Mark Boerich, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I thoroughly enjoyed Game 6 of the Finals last night and watching one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in the NBA Finals, 50 points by Giannis to win a championship. And so we've been talking about that most of the day, but we did talk a little bit about the Chiefs, but I'm glad that you were able to come on the show because last couple of days we've seen this thing shake out as far as defensive end slash edge rusher, as many people were hoping, including me. I was hoping that the Chiefs would be able to agree to a deal with Melvin Ingram. That didn't happen. He signs, according to Jason LaCanfora, a one-year, $4 million deal with Pittsburgh on Monday. And so it just feels like maybe the Chiefs were that was maybe still an option. And then he goes to Pittsburgh on Monday. So then on Tuesday, their backup plan, bring back Alex Okafor, which I don't have a problem with. And so, but I ask you, what do you think of how this played out? Should we be disappointed that they didn't get Melvin Ingram and he signs with Pittsburgh and they bring back Alex Okafor? What's your reaction?
Well, I think as a fan of this team and with Melvin Ingram's name and what he's accomplished, you know, in the league, and of course, obviously playing the Chiefs two times a year, I think it's natural for fans to look at it and say, hey, you know, that's a guy we want and should have had. You know, he's 32 years old, has obviously been extremely successful in rushing the passer. We've seen that obviously here in Kansas City. And it's a little disappointed they didn't win out, you know, if he was an option. But again, it comes down to, I think, a little bit of, with this team anyway, of what were you willing to spend on it? And, you know, was Melvin Ingram, you know, willing to come here to Kansas City as well, right? There's two parties involved in this whole deal. Are there medical issues that you know, the Chiefs looked at and said, hey, this isn't something we want to pursue or not at the price tag? And, you know, I think, you know, because he visited here early in the offseason, I think there was a lot of speculation that you know, he could end up here. But, you know, for Melvin Ingram, I think maybe it's a situation where he felt, you know, more comfortable in Pittsburgh. And then when you look at Alex Okafor, you know, he's a guy you know. If you're in the organization here, he, you know, here's the thing I don't want to hear about necessarily salary cap pieces, right? And when I say that is, if Melvin Ingram signed a one-year, $4 million deal with Pittsburgh, you know, Okafor restructured his contract a year ago to provide some cap room, and then it voided the last year of his deal, which would have been this year. And so I think the Chiefs are rolling over like a $2 million cap hit anyway, potentially this year from him. So if he's signing a one-year, you know, $1 million deal, he's counting against, you know, $3 million against the cap this year, where Melvin Ingram's counting four, you know, for Pittsburgh on that deal. Haven't seen the complete structure of it, but that's most likely what it looks like. It's kind of a one-for-one when you look at it that way, salary cap-wise. So I think with Okafor, though, it provides depth. It's a guy who obviously missed, I think, 9-10 games last year with an injury, missed, the Super Bowl run with an injury. They clearly like him because they signed him in free agency a couple years ago. And it's a guy you know and provides depth, and that's something that this team certainly needs on the defensive line.
Mark Boerichter is our guest. Okay, so they brought in the veteran defensive end, a guy that they know, a guy that they trust on all three downs and can provide much-needed experience there. You know, Taco Charlton still is, you know, injury risk. Mike Dana and Josh Kando are young and inexperienced, and so that we see why they brought him in and how it could help. Is the shopping done now? Quarterbacks and rookies and some select veterans will report to camp on Friday. Do you think the shopping list, everything's been crossed off, or do you think there's still something left to add as we get ready to start training camp?
I don't think anything is going to happen before training camp. I mean, I think you can always add pieces to that puzzle, but, you know, you're going to look around the league, and we've seen this in previous years, you know, where guys will get released during training camp, veterans will, or right after training camp, and this year with three preseason games. You know, there's still going to be options out there potentially for veteran pickups, and typically at this time of year, it's somebody that gets released from another team, or you know, you're going to see some other veterans out there that are waiting to wait for an injury to happen before signing with the club. And so I think, Stephen, as we go into, you know, as you mentioned, rookies and quarterbacks report Friday, the rest of the crew reports on Monday, you're not going to see very many more moves, I don't think, from the Chiefs, you know, if any, until training camp starts or until after training camp's over. I think they're looking at their roster at this point going into it. And again, you know, with Okafor coming back, he's a guy you know. He knows the defensive scheme. You know, he's not going to have to sit here and learn it, you know, through training camp or anything else. So I think they're pretty much done with their roster construction, at least here as we enter into to Friday and Monday.
Are you comfortable with the depth chart at wide receiver?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with it. I think it's a depth chart of people you know. To go back to that piece, you know, with DeMarcus coming back, you know, Tyreek, of course. I really like Byron Pringle. I think he needs to have an opportunity, you know, this year to really show what he can do. And can he step into, you know, quote, the Sammy Watkins role? You know, Cornell Powell's an intriguing receiver, obviously, their fifth-round pick this year, big guy. The big question for me, Steven, I think for everybody is, you know, can Mecole Hardman step up and become more of a weapon in this offense? And when I say a weapon, not just a weapon on, you know, third downs or you know, for 25 snaps a game. Can he go for 45 or 50 snaps a game and truly become, you know, a guy that they traded up for in the second round? You know, both he and Tyreek are smaller guys. Now Tyreek's obviously more muscular than Mecole is, but you know, I don't necessarily know I'm comfortable with it. But there's some potential there that needs to come out, and we're going to find out pretty quick whether that's going to happen or not.
Can Mecole Hardman take that next step and become a bigger weapon and a more consistent weapon in this offense?
You know, I really hope he does, Steven, but hope is never really a good strategy to have. I think he can, right? I think, and this is just some things I've heard, and you can read between the lines of some of the comments that have been made over the last year and a half with people on the team. It's about whether Mecole Hardman – it's not about the physical ability, I don't think, with Mecole Hardman. It's whether he wants to dedicate himself to really indoctrinating himself within the playbook, within the offense, understanding within this offense that every football offense is based on concepts, but this offense is really fluid based on what the defense does. And can he put in the work, or did he put in the work in the offseason, not from a physical standpoint, but from a mental standpoint, to truly understand, you know, what defenses are doing and truly understand this offense to a point where they can count on him. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I talk a lot about this with you guys and have for years on trust. And it's a trust between a quarterback and a wide receiver, that they're seeing the same things and on the same page. And if they can get Mecole Hardman on the same page, he certainly is a weapon that they can utilize.
Mark Boerichter has been our guest. Final question. Another veteran that they passed on that didn't sign for too much money was a guy that they did know in Bashaud Breeland. Do you think they will regret not bringing him back, or do they have enough high upside corners, lottery tickets like Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker, to where they won't miss him?
That's a good question, Stephen. I don't know that they won't miss him. I thought Bashaud Breeland fit into this defense and defensive scheme really, really well. A big physical guy who is willing to come up and tackle in the run game and run support, which I think is underrated for most corners. He was a decent cover guy. You know, he's not the greatest out there, but he fit into this scheme really, really well. You know, I think there are clearly some off-field issues there in the past that we all know about. And the other big question, you know, I know he didn't sign for a ton of money in Minnesota, but it may just have been where the Chiefs weren't willing to go there. But you've got Charvarius Ward, who's been a solid corner for this team. Well, Jarius Sneed, obviously last year, coming in and having a tremendous rookie season, even after missing a few games because of some injuries, you know, was a bright spot at corner. Rashad Fenton's still here. Juan Thornhill's a versatile guy, obviously coming off the ACL a year and a half ago and really, you know, getting back at it last year. And then you mentioned, of course, DeAndre Baker and
Mike Hughes.
And Mike Hughes. So those are two guys that were high picks that, you know, fizzled out at other places, you know, in Minnesota and I believe with the Giants, right? So yep. There's some opportunity there for those guys to come in and step in. And they're first-round picks for a reason. There's a talent level there with those guys that – and sometimes a change of scenery is what needs to happen for guys like that. You know, DeAndre Baker coming in last year and then getting hurt, you know, really didn't get a chance to play a ton before, you know, breaking his leg. So we didn't get to see a ton of him last year. I think there's decent depth there. When I say decent, you've got some high-profile guys, obviously first-round picks in there. Who you know, a change of scenery could help, but you know, if L'Jarius Sneed can play like he did a year ago and Charvarius Ward can continue to be a solid corner for them, I think they'll be okay.
Mark, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. We'll talk to you later.
It's former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. Also, Bo Pete Keys, Jake, is another guy that I hope he continues to stay with the team because I like saying his name. Bo Pete Keys for the Chiefs. We'll take a break and wrap things up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.